Connell McShane from News Nation will be on this afternoon. You'll find him on Comcast 223. Hey, Connell, welcome back to the show.
Hey, John, always good to talk to you.
Our top story, Texas Democrats aim to bar Ted Cruz from college playoff games. Harris County Democrat Party precinct chairs have come together to author a resolution prohibiting podcaster Ted Cruz from attending college football playoff games in person, given his record of personal failure. They said the 9 scariest words for any college fan to hear are, "I'm Ted Cruz, and I'm coming to your game." Your thoughts?
And my favorite part of that was that you said that's our top story. So that's what you're leading with today, huh?
Yep. It's a slow day here in America, and that's actually that's the kind of story you might want to spend time with, because some of these things are so dang complicated. What did you hear from the Supreme Court yesterday?
You know, that is complicated. I think we can get lost, and it's an important topic of discussion to have in the back and forth over birthright citizenship, which is what got the particular case the Supreme Court was hearing to the court yesterday. But the real discussion and most of the debate seemed to be centered around these nationwide injunctions. In other words, how much power can one judge have? People always talk about judge shopping. So that seemed to be the real thing. It's the vehicle was birthright citizenship, but now the question before the court looks like they're trying to maybe find a way to deal with this, which will be interesting, maybe limit the nationwide injunction power, even though it seemed like liberal and conservative justices alike would be reluctant to go against the grain on birthright citizenship and agree with the president. But I think the more interesting thing is the nationwide injunctions. That would have a big impact on both parties. Biden used to complain about it, and Trump certainly has been complaining about it.
Yeah, Clarence Thomas said we used to get along without these things. Why now do we give so much power to justices? His history may be a little fuzzy there, but never mind that. So if the point is that the president issues an executive order and it says that we will no longer respect birthright citizenship, and then a judge says, no, we're going to put an injunction on that, that will not stand. The idea is we're giving the justice, one man, too much power. Never mind, we've already given it to the president. That's just one man. But we do understand the president is the chief executive, so maybe he should have a considerable amount of power. And if we then defer to the president rather than a judge on this, and I'm not comfortable going down that path, but then how do you address the constitutionality of birthright citizenship? The president does not have the power to just deem something about the Constitution he does not like not constitutional. So I wonder, how do we get to the issue of birthright citizenship? We're not going to let Trump's opinion about it stand, are we? Or is that where this thing will be parked?
You know, it was interesting yesterday. I'm not an expert on any of these Supreme Court debates by any stretch of the imagination, but just in watching it and talking to some experts on our show about it, Brett Kavanaugh is a conservative justice, obviously. He had this back and forth where he was pushing for answers, I think, on the question that you're getting to. In other words, what would happen in the interim if they, you still have the executive order in question out there? And he said, it only gave the government like 30 days to come up with a policy and say, hey, do you guys think you can get that together in time? Because otherwise what happens? I think he said something like, hey, what would happen to a newborn? So I think there are a lot of open questions about this. On the separate issue of the nationwide injunctions, there were some issues or suggestions floated, like the court might replace them with certifications of like a class action lawsuit where you'd have individuals serving as representatives of a much larger group and you wouldn't have it coming down to one judge. I mean, I don't know how that would all work, but that was one issue. I thought Kavanaugh's question, though, was an interesting one. Say, hey, can you get your act together in 30 days? Otherwise, we'll have a lot of confusion on our hands in terms of the 14th Amendment.
We're going to have a lot of planes flying people out of here. We're already doing that.
Yeah.
But I mean, think about that. So how many million Americans have become U.S. citizens by the means that we're discussing? Are you going to grandfather them in, or are you going to deport them? And how do you locate them? How do you even identify them? It's just massively complicated. You know, is this signaling, do you think, Connell, or are they serious about not wanting these people to be citizens? And have they suggested what they would do with the people who have become citizens through their birthright?
No, I haven't heard. I mean, they may have, but I haven't heard that suggestion if it's been made by, you know, Stephen Miller or somebody in the administration. To answer your first question, I think they're serious about it. The president certainly talked a lot about it. And when he makes the statements, it's about half right on some of this. For example, yesterday he made an historical reference to this, to the 14th Amendment, and then the Supreme Court case that came after the Dred Scott decision to kind of solidify birthright citizenship in the late 1800s, saying, oh, this came after the Civil War, and you wanted to have slaves who become citizens. And he was about half right on all of that. But the thing that he got wrong was saying that, you know, no other country does it this way. As a matter of fact, many other countries, especially in the Americas, do it this way. A lot of other, you know, if you look through Europe and Africa, he's right. There's a lot of countries that don't have this in place, but Canada has a very similar rule. I was looking at Brazil and Argentina, very, very similar in terms of birthright citizenship. So there are other countries that do it this way. And I think even more importantly, we do it this way. And it's been something that's made America in some ways what it is for so many years. So making this change would be gigantic, and I don't think they've had a big plan. They just say that they don't think it's something that's fair and they want it to change. So that interim period, if this ruling comes down later in the year, to Kavanaugh's point, for like a month or so, it's going to be really, yeah, really interesting.
It was the amendment was written to patriate formerly enslaved persons. But since then, there have been cases. I mean, the very thing we're talking about, two Chinese nationals had a child in the United States in California in 1898, and
right,
the Supreme Court judged that that child is a citizen of the United States, though the parents were the subjects of the Emperor of China. And that was determined. Now, I don't know if that was so long ago that it carries less credence, but this very issue, it seems to me, has been resolved by the Supreme Court.
And I think the justices, from their comments that I read yesterday, seem to agree with that precedent as something that, you know, they want to keep standing, that it does have the credence, as you say, even no matter what year it came down. It didn't seem like anybody was really questioning that so much as going back again over and over to this idea of nationwide injunctions, which is what got this executive order to the court. So, you know, it'll be, I don't know how, maybe there's a way that they can kind of split the difference on this in the way they write their opinion. I'm not sure, but, you know, we'll find out.
One last point about that, and that is when the president said it's stupid the way we do it, I do take, but you know, I do understand that. I mean, the logic would be just, you know, if it was a blank canvas and we right, didn't care that we actually need to grow our population, it would make sense that you would be a citizen only to the nation from which your parents come.
Right.
The geography shouldn't matter. It should be the parents. So if it came up as a constitutional amendment, we could rescind the 14th, or we could reamend the Constitution.
Yes.
Then I would entertain that conversation. We asked our listeners in a terribly unscientific poll yesterday about that. 70% say we should keep it the way it is. 30% said the president's got a point there, but there would be a way to amend the Constitution. And I don't like the idea that the president, with the wisp of his pen, is able to change the interpretation of that.
And think about your other point, because I had a similar conversation with one of the lawyers that we had on yesterday. I think it was an immigration lawyer. And my point after he made, you know, the point that you just made is there any issue in America at this point in year 2025 where we could amend the Constitution? In other words, where we would get the type of agreement that's necessary
right,
to pass an amendment to the Constitution? And even though it's an unscientific poll, pretty much proves the point that probably not. Probably not on this one, at least, and probably not on anything else. I can't think of anything where, you know, something we don't have in this country. I'm sure someone will maybe call in and have an example, but something we don't have in this country that we should, that we could all agree, all right, let's amend the Constitution. I feel like that would be, it's just so hard to imagine that right now, for better or worse, in a divided country.
I'm going to propose that we make the hamburger the official sandwich of the United States.
Might
work.
We
will amend the Constitution to do that, but now somebody's going to say, wait a minute, but what about the Philly steak cheese sandwich? What,
exactly,
are you crazy?
You know, it would sound that, and then at the end of the day, somehow, because we argue about everything, we get into an argument about hamburgers. That's how we are.
Is the president back or coming back today?
On his way from the trip, yeah, which he, they've been pumping it up. And dollar-wise, I can see why. as a successful trip to the Middle East. I think we were looking at some of the deals, and we came up with $2 trillion in investments overall between the UAE, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. Many of them private investments, others, you know, military commitments. But that's what the White House is pointing to as a you know, level of success for their trip. You know, artificial intelligence certainly was a big one, the tail end. So about $2 trillion or so in investment deals.
Colin McShane, anchor at News Nation, covering those stories and the fact that Ted Cruz should not go to your college football game. You watch now. You watch 2 to 5, see if he just sneaks that in. Thank you, Colin. It's nice to talk to you.
All right. Good stuff, John. Talk to you.
Watch him on Comcast 223. He's on The Dish and DirecTV, too.